My brothers and sisters in Christ, the prophet Baruch, in our first reading, describes Jerusalem's joy as the exiles return from Babylon to their homeland. Up, Jerusalem, said, get up, get out of your beds, go up on the heights, stand on the heights, look to the east and see your children gathered from the east and the west at the word of the Holy One. God will bring them back to you, born aloft in glory as on royal thrones. It's a magnificent vision. And it happened. I don't think we're carrying the royal thrones, but in stages, the Jewish exiles did come back to their homeland. But St. Luke describes something greater than God rescuing one people from exile. John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus is meant, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The salvation that Jesus Christ brings is for all people and is not a release from an earthly exile, but freedom from sin and death. You and I are followers of Jesus Christ, and we have the role of John the Baptist in our day and in our place. We are the people who have heard the good news of salvation and have believed in it. We not only have Christ's gospel to bring to others, but have the experience of his saving power in this life through the grace of the sacraments and the promise of future glory in the fullness of eternal life. And that was true for the first generation of Christians as well. It's why St. Paul told the Philippians, whom he had evangelized, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you because of your partnership for the gospel. He sees them sharing in his ministry of proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And that gospel must not only shape our thinking and acting, but must move us out of love, the love that Paul prays will increase ever more and more, to share the gospel of Christ with others, and share Christ himself. We do good to other people when we introduce them to the world's only Savior, or help those who have abandoned him to come back. And our people must continue to do that until the day of Christ Jesus, the day of his return. Just recently, I met a family. The wife had been brought up Catholic and loved her faith, practiced it. The young man, she was going to marry, became intrigued. He took instructions of the RCIA and became a Catholic. Now that man's father, seeing the kind of changes in his son, I think I'm going to look into that too. You know, this family kind of sharing their faith, helping to bring others to faith. It can also happen that Catholics have strayed away. Our witness to them can also help. A couple I know, very faithful Catholics, had a young adult daughter who had strayed away from the faith, but she knew her parents practiced. They decided they'd take one day a week, I think it was a Wednesday, and they would pray. They prayed all the time for their daughter, but they would fast all day long until evening. And there was a parish nearby that an evening mass, they would go to mass and go out to dinner. But prayer and sacrifice and the witness of their life brought their daughter back to the faith. These people were acting like John the Baptist, preparing the way for the Lord to enter into other people's lives. And we are capable of doing that. Beginning this Advent, but continuing well into the future, we as the Catholics of the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston are faced the challenge to focus our attention on bringing Christ to others. There will be parish and diocesan efforts to reach out to absent Catholics and the religiously unaffiliated, about which you will hear more as those plans are being developed with input from laity and clergy from around the state. But let me speak now of a way for you to reach out to others so that the Holy Spirit may stir the embers of faith in their souls or light the flame of faith for the first time. I think it was, you were told last week, I was in another parish, that I had written a little pastoral letter. It's in booklet form. It should be, I think, in the back of church, with a big postcard-sized card that outlines the spiritual preparation needed to speak to others about your faith and practical steps to help you do it. This is a form of personal evangelization, encouraging others to take a good look at Jesus Christ and at the church that he founded. This is not beyond your power. You have been baptized and confirmed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know why you follow Jesus Christ when you could walk away, usually at no earthly cost to yourself. And you know why you stay in his church when others have left it. As Pope Francis says, you don't need extensive theological or catechetical training to speak to others about your faith. You are experts on your life of faith. We are among the human beings who have heard the message of John the Baptist and have let the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. We all should know that we are loved beyond measure, beyond what we could imagine, by the Lord our God, by the Savior who became one of us, offered his life on the cross to save us from sin, and rose from the dead that we might have a path to eternal life. We can't be indifferent to that great gift. Now, in the early chapters of the book of Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, the Lord speaks through the Spirit to various churches that had been founded and were living the Christian life, some better than others, some worse than others, okay? And he says to one of those churches, I wish you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Would you want to be spit out of the Lord's mouth? When I was in college, I faced the choice. Am I going to practice my Catholic faith or not? It was a non-Catholic university. A lot of my friends were, religion didn't matter then. I faced that choice. But I remember that verse from Revelations, and it strengthened me. I don't want to be spit out of the Lord's mouth. So I lived my faith in college. So Jesus was saying through the Spirit those words to Christians who were content with their comfortable life, but were not joyful about their faith or willing to share it. So we have to face a choice. Do we want to be, we can be hot or cold, but the Lord doesn't like, he likes lukewarm worse of most of, he dislikes it most of all. You know, I think it was 2015, 21 men, 20 of them Coptic Christians, were abducted in Egypt. They were working on a construction project. They were all Christian men. They were abducted by Islamic State terrorists and taken to a beach, and they were told to kneel down and renounce their Christian faith. None of them would, and so their captors cut off their heads. There was one other, though, with them who was not, reportedly was not a Christian. And he was asked, well, what was his religion? And he pointed to the others who had just been slain and said, their God is my God. So the terrorist cut off his head too. The others had witnessed to their faith to the point of being willing to die for it. And by their witness, they brought another man to faith. Surely all of those Egyptian men, 21 total, are with the Lord in heaven. In fact, the Coptic Church has canonized them. And Pope Francis has said, yes, they're true martyrs for the faith of Christ. We have not been tested as severely as those men were, but our faith is being tested every day. A true measure of faith is our willingness to reject spiritual mediocrity and to engage in personal evangelization, sharing our faith with others. I ask you, please read my pastoral letter, reflect on it, and act accordingly. You may feel awkward engaging in that effort. You may not, may strike out sometimes. That happens, okay? But God, I think, will act through you. For as we heard in today's responsorial psalm, those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing, although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves, the fruit of their harvest. Carry the seed of faith to others, my brothers and sisters, and I believe you will come back rejoicing.